Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahadiryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Basari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Northern Ocean, Ninth Wave, Chapter 51, Perverted Expressions of Mellows. Verse 4929, page 97. So within unsuitable words. Oh, baby cowherd, how is it that you loosen the belts of us young snake girls living in the lake of Kaliya by the sound of your flute? Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī. The Uparasa exemplified in the young girls living in Kaliya's lake, like the example of the girls living on Mount Kailash in verses 27 and 31, is according to descriptions from other Puranas. This Uparasa involving Anubhavas is caused by describing Krishna with disrespect. Pushkara, Saddam, means those girls living in the waters of Kaliya's lake. Though young in one sense, Krishna had assumed the age of Kishore age because the sound of the flute is mentioned. Thus, using the word bala, usually referring to his baby years, to describe Krishna as a symptom of the girl's lack of expertise in loving affairs, lack of vaidagya. Right, so they lack the qualities or the expertise in that.
Just to clarify on this point, when the rasa basa quoted, it actually exists, like people express or devotees express.
Yeah, these are taken from, they're not making up examples.
So it's a bona fide scripture, this is taken from there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that, or some explanation like that. I think there's some cases where he makes it up and then he says, these have been made up. But a lot of times that, like you said, it's been taken from other Puranas. So it might be from, you know, a Tamasic or Rajasic Purana where, you know, it won't quite have the flavors. But the people who are reading it, they'll think it's really nice and they'll be inspired.
So they can't experience the real taste, the real rasa.
No. That's why I was saying it has a mix. Maybe with time it will get better. But at least in this example, it's not quite right. You know, it's because... Yes?
Because as mentioned previously by Rupa Goswami, that rasabhas happens when there is some contamination in the heart. So only in the Gaudiya line, and especially like in the Bhagavatam, then it's like very perfect. So that we are referring to the topmost devotees who are having that mood. All others who are not following the like pure mood, then they'll have...
It might be okay for in their line. It means it's always going to be a problem, but it may not be seen as seriously. You're saying for the Gaudiyas, you know, because of Braja, then on that you have to be very, very careful because it's very exact. But these other situations, but because there's a contamination in the heart. So as girls on Kailash or these ones, then there's some contamination. You know? So the contamination doesn't necessarily mean it's material, it just means it has they haven't come across by association. Who are they associating with? So by association, then these things can be corrected. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes?
So in this particular example, the fault is that when Krishna plays the flute, he is in a bala form. Is that correct?
Yeah, so why would you call him a child?
Okay.
You know, it's just like the girl calling the boy, oh my dear child, you know, when you play the flute, it's just so, I become so inspired. You know, if a mom says that, you know, oh, it's so nice when you play the flute, my dear child, that's okay. But they're giving an indication of a conjugal aspect and then calling him a child. Does that make sense? So it's just, that's what you're saying, lack of expertise in loving affairs. I mean, they're hanging out with a snake, you know. So. No?
Yeah, not the practice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, yes. You know, so. And Garuda, he's not doing well with Garuda, right? You know, so there's some fault there. But you see, after Krishna dances on his head, all the poisons come out. There's a lot of poisons, right? 100 heads and so much dancing. And then, you see, he turns into a pure devotee. You know, his wives are appreciating, and naturally they'll also develop. They'll come to the proper standard. Yes.
So in this sense, pure devotee, not necessarily rasik, just the regular...
Yeah, because pure is at that point, but then you have to come up to the point. Because pure devotion means it's without karma jnana. Because in here, there's no karma jnana being mentioned. They're not trying to get some material benefit or some liberation.
Right.
Right? Even in the other ones, they're not trying that. It's just being mixed. You know? So in earlier stages, you might get these things. But that's why you have to know it's not right. Otherwise, you can start your own stuff with this. You know, you have so many sampradayas, you know, it's like... In Western India, you know, serious yogi and all that, and he had some realization of the Supreme, and now he's, you know, God or something, you know? And so you get all kinds of weirdo stuff. Someone does something, they think about something, oh, it means like this, and then they change it. But, you know, sometimes you see devotees also, they have to be very careful, is that there'll be something that's there, they'll contemplate it, oh, but that means this, or we can't do that, or these things like that, and they start a whole thing about it until, you know, somebody straightens it out, yes.
Also, this helps us to be even more cautious, especially when we go to Vrindavan. Mm. Just picking up somebody's mood there.
Yeah, that's also
good. It will be completely against, like, what mood we are following.
Yeah, because it's just, that's why Lord Chaitanya says you don't associate with the Brajavasis. You know, you're nice, you deal with them, you're going around, you interact, you follow all the things, but you don't practice what they practice. They do this stuff, that's up to them. But we don't. Is that, you know, a very specific word? You know, so we're also careful that we, you know, don't think that any little thing, any feeling, then automatically we're there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. 4.9.30, audacity. To request for enjoyment with Krishna overtly is called boldness. 4.9.31, O my lover, O Govinda, living in a bower on Mount Kailash, I am of the late Kaishora age and attractive, and you are clever in loving affairs. What more can be said? Srila Prabhupada. One devotee said, my dear Govinda, here is a nice flowery bush in Kailash. I am a young girl and you are a young poetic boy. After this, what more can I say? You just consider. This is an example of uparasa, caused by impudence in conjugal love. Right? So it's a little too bold for the beings, because the conjugal rasa is so subtle and all that. This is just too bold. Is that okay? 4.9.32. In a similar manner, the wise are able to understand uparasas of the secondary rasas, such as hasya. 4.9.33. If the devotee, as alambanas and other elements, are devoid of a relationship with Krishna when expressing a certain rasa, then anurasa arises for the seven secondary rasas and shantarasa. Footnote 37. Anurasa will not arise in the primary rasas other than shanta, because those rasas are directly related to Krishna. Right? While in the shanta, it's not directly related to Krishna. Everything's about Krishna. Everything's connected to Krishna. But there's not that direct rati with Krishna. It doesn't have that dynamic aspect. So therefore, then it won't arise. So the uparasas, that means these were, what was that? Anurasas. So uparasas then are within the four. You know, any mix within the four. He says uparasas. So within stai bhava, vibhava, anubhava. But there's a stai. Right? And something. So anurasa then will be secondary rasas and shanta. because it doesn't have that direct relationship. Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī. Bhaktādi bihi, by devotees, etc., means devotees of the five types, Shanta, Dasya, Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhura. Other scriptures on rasa consider Shanta to be unsuitable for this list. 38. Thus, the four types of devotees are indicated by word bhakta, and Shanta bhaktas is indicated by adi. Right? So, when you're talking about these elements of rasa, then they're not included as strongly. The four, because they have that direct, dynamic interaction, and Shanta and the seven indirect don't. Like that. Does that make sense? But we count. That means we're counting as devotees, but they're counting in this way as devotees because they're bringing out the aspect of rasa. You're talking about their situation, transcendental position, absorption in Krishna. Like this, then you're not going to make that distinction. So, 4.9.34. When the female monkey, Kakati, moved her eyebrows and danced furiously, all the cowherd boys laughed loudly. 4.9.35. Hearing the prolonged debate among the parents on Vedanta and creepers climbing the bandira tree, Narada's eyes stopped blinking in wonder and his hair stood on end. Srila Prabhupada. When Narad Muni was passing through Vrindavan, he came to the Bandiravan forest and saw in one of the trees the famous parrot couple that always accompanies Lord Krishna. The couple was imitating some discussion they had heard upon the Vedanta philosophy, and thus were seemingly arguing upon various philosophical points. Upon seeing this, Narada was struck with wonder. He began to stare without moving his eyelids. This is an example of anurasa, or imitation. So they don't have that related, but then they're... Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami. Bandira kakshe means in the tall creepers climbing up the bandira tree. Vishwakosh says, Surabhye cha trine kaksha shushka kana na virudhor. Kaksha means fragrant grass in general, a dry forest or creeper. Another version has bandira vrikshe, which is easily understood. So, they're saying that they're in the creepers that are on the tree. Because otherwise, then, you'd have to be way out on the outer edge for a bird to be able to sit on it. You know, because they have to grab. But if you're on the creeper, you can grab, and the creeper goes up the inside of the tree. So they can be inside the tree, but on the creeper. So, you know, it's a good place. You know, I mean, if we want to have a serious discussion, right? You know, because if you're out on the outer branches, then so many birds might come by and give their opinions, but you know, you don't want to be distracted. 4.9.36. In the same way, anurasa for vira and other secondary rasas should be understood. 4.9.37. If the seven secondary rasas or shanta ras appear in neutral devotees with Krishna as the vibhava, it is still considered anurasa. 39. Tathasta bhaktas are described as those who are attached to the Brahman, Shantarasa, and those who appreciate the qualities of the Lord but do not identify themselves as his followers. Preeti Sandarbha 92. The Tathasta bhakta's experience of Krishna is inferior to the Shanta bhakta with Uparasa as a temporary phenomena, and thus is classed as Anurasa. So it's not full rasa. Right? Because there's some touch of it like this, but it's not full. It's not like the direct rasas. So then you're making a distinction so you appreciate these four direct rasas, what they experience, then it's going to be beyond anything else. So even the others are devotees, it's still more. Because, like I was mentioning before, that the... these guys are gone. Huh? Oh, it's nice knowing you.
It was like mentioned before.
Yeah, somehow now that I completely lost it. Oh, yes. Mentioned before that one is going up to the rasas through shanta. Right? Because in shanta means it's the liberated position. And you're appreciating Krishna. So, as one develops, because only on that liberated platform can you actually have a direct rati for Krishna. If you're not, it can't be. It'll be so mixed. It'll just be, you know, it doesn't even come. You know, it's not even mentioned. It's in the same way like that. It should be understood. It'll be, you know, way out there somewhere. So, got stuck again. So therefore, then these things you're going to appreciate, they're not all the way on the level of the other rasas. Because you can see is that they're funny, they're interesting, they bring out wonder or other things like that. But they don't bring out the intensity that the four direct rasas do. So, yeah. 4938. If Krishna becomes the Vishaya and his enemies become the Ashraya of Hasya and other secondary rasas, it is called aparasa by the wise. 4939, translation. Seeing from far off, restless-eyed Krishna fleeing, Jarasandha began to laugh repeatedly. So it's hasya rasa, and it's directed at Krishna, right? But because they're not devotees or anything, therefore it's called, what was it called?
Aparasa.
Means it's not actually rasa, not with Krishna. Yeah. Like apasampradaya means it's there's something wrong with it, like that. Srila Prabhupada, when Krishna is fleeing from the battlefield from a distant place, Jarasandha was watching him with restless eyes, and was feeling very proud. Being thus puffed up with his conquest, he was repeatedly laughing. This is an example of aparasa. Srila Jiva Goswami. The laughter of Jarasandha is certainly aparasa. If one of Jarasandha's followers with demoniac nature laughs at Krishna or the event, it is also aparasa. If one of the devotees laughs at the event, it is pure hasyarasa. Right? So the devotees, because they have that relationship, then it'll be rasa. Then if it's something improperly mixed with those who are in positions of rasa, or that, you know, that can also include all five at this point, then it'll become uparasa, right? But then uparasa. If it's then shanta and then this secondary, where then the it has some connection with Krishna, but not necessarily so nicely, then that becomes anurasa. It's not a full taste of rasa. And then when the materialists are dealing, then that's aparasa. So they're dealing with Krishna, but it's not an actual proper rasa. Right?
Mm-hmm. The main thing is to have a proper relationship.
Yes, have a proper relationship. Yes, that's why you always have to be careful. So close. Just when you think you're so good at technology, then this happens. In a similar way, one should understand examples of upper rasa for Adbhuta and other rasas. Some persons consider superior rasa basa, upper rasa, to be rasa, because it has a relishable nature. Right? Because it has a relishable, if it's done in a way that works, like the one Madhu Bangal, you know, then calling, trying to get Krishna's opinion on how nice he's dancing when he's just goofing. You know, like that. Srila Jiva Goswami. The meaning of the whole topic is presented in summary. The mutual combinations of vibhava and other elements should produce rasa without producing distaste. The ability of that combination to do so is acknowledged by all. For instance, it is said, some experts in rasa say that all bhavas, even bhava bhasas and rasa bhasas, are rasas since they are enjoyable. Srila Prabhupada. Everything in connection with Krishna is called ecstatic love, devotional love, although it may be exhibited in different ways, sometimes in the right order and sometimes as a perverted reflection. According to the opinion of all expert devotees, anything that will arouse ecstatic love for Krishna is to be taken as an impetus for transcendental mellow. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta summary of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. Concluding words, 4942. The four styles, such as Bharati, which indicate a condition of rasa in speech and drama, have been explained in the work Natta Chandrika, since they are suitable only for dramas. Footnote 40. These are styles employed to convey different rasas. Kaushiki Vritti is used to convey Madhura rasa. Satvati is used to convey Vira, Shanta, Dasya, Vatsalya, Hasya, and Adbhuta rasa. Arabhati is used to convey Vira, Raudra, Karuna, Bhayanaka, and Bibhatsa rasa. And Bharati Vritti is used to convey all rasas. For fear of making the work too long, in this work I have gathered together in a summarized way the wealth of Bhakti Rasa. Right, so he won't get into finer details because that's going to come in the Natika Chandrika, you know, in the dealing on how you deal in dramas. So in dramas, then they're going to put in how, depending on how you're using it, where it's coming in the flow of the different plots, the plot lines and all those things, then you can use these different techniques to bring something out. And so, as it's being said here, experts say that all bhavas, even bhava, bhas, rasa, bhas, are rasa since they are enjoyable, because it may be someone is saying something that's improper. You know, Jatila says something, let's use the example of we said the other day, of Padmavati. The other devotees, they're going to be laughing at that, and it's going to be pure hasya, because even though she's engaged in something that's a rasa bhas, you know? But it's because it's in connection with Krishna, and therefore it has something. Or like the monkey is doing these funny things, and then the cowherd boys are laughing. It's not directly at Krishna, so it's an uparasa, right? But it's all kind of in the scene with Krishna, that their cowherd boys are there, they're having fun, and so this monkey is making faces and dancing in a very furious way. And so like that, it adds to the atmosphere. But one should know for oneself what's proper rasa and how to deal properly. So you have both the how it can be engaged and how it can't. So like you see, sometimes the acharyas are talking about it seemingly favorable, sometimes not favorable, because point is we wouldn't use them, but they may come up. Yes.
In Natya Shastra, when laughter has to come, something inappropriate has to be done by the Vidusha.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So these are the examples that something inappropriate is done, but their position is the Vidusha.
Yeah.
It cannot be done by anybody and everybody.
Okay, yes. It means the right person. Vidushak means the fool. In the drama, there's the director, and there's a fool, right? Or the joker, the clown. So they always come out, they introduce everything. You know, you open the drama, you discuss what's there, what's going to happen. And the Vidushak, then he always asks questions. And, you know, sometimes it's proper, sometimes... That's the thing about Vidushaks, they can be very serious. Like, you see, is that for a king, his Vidushak may be the most intelligent person in his court. Because otherwise, how does he make him laugh? Like, I think it was... I mean, where you have Tenali Ram and... who's the other one? Gopal Bhant. I don't know about Birbal was also like that? I don't know, because he seems so serious, you know. But these two, they were originally the Vidushak for the king. But they were so smart, because being the Vidushak, they can say anything. I have to be careful, but they can say anything and get away with it. And so with time, they start to notice this guy's smart and what he's giving good advice. Then they both became prime ministers. Like that. And you see, as I think it was Henry VIII, after the second wife lost her head, he was feeling very bad. So he would stay in his room He wouldn't come out for, I don't know, a long time. But the only one who could come in the room was the Vidushaka. And he'd come in and, you know, pick up the crown, put it on his head, you know, funny, sit in the chair, you know, like that, with his feet sticking out, and then try to say something to cheer up the king. And, you know, most of the time he'd get tossed out, but, you know. So that's the Vidushaka. So, in the European, over here, then they do better. They're a little smarter, but, you know, they're dealing with a higher quality king also. So, but you have the thing is, they can do things and introduce things that no one else can. You know? So is it? Yeah, there's nothing that a fool can't say or a goat won't eat. You know, so, you know, so it's yes.
That is one of the main reasons I think Madhumangal is not anywhere introduced in the friends list, because he takes that.
As the Vidushaka. Yeah, that's true. When it's mentioned friends, it never mentions Mother Mangal. But you see, is that he takes part in all the aspects of the friends. He's even involved in the conjugal aspect. So he's a confidential. But the way he talks is not like the other confidentials. But everything he does is about Krishna and his relation with the gopis. And, yeah. That's interesting. He's the Vidushaka. Yeah, so they're in their own category. So then the Vidushaka can introduce things and say things and do stupid stuff. And it creates laughter. And so it's an actual rasa on the part of the people. But his position is, it will be something, you know, something else. You know?
And also he's directly related to Parnamasi.
He's directly, okay, yeah. He's a grandson, no? So she's Yogamaya. She's arranging, and then he also does. And I think also the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
His mother, she also is there. She's a Brahmin. She what?
Gargi?
No. Sure.
Oh, sorry. But Gargi is also involved.
Yeah, but I can't remember what her name is. Huh? Nandimukhi, yes, Nandimukhi. And so she arranges things and that. I think a lot of times she's a messenger. Well, yeah. Okay. For fear of making the work too long. In this work, I have gathered together in a summarized way the wealth of Bhakti Rasa. May he with eternal form, who possesses the beauty of a cowherd boy's form, and who spreads his bhavas to Ramachandra and other forms, be pleased with this northern section of the ocean of sweet rasa. May Sanatana Goswami, who spreads the mood of love expressed by Raghunath Das Goswami, and nourish the love of Gopalbhatta Goswami, be pleased with the northern ocean of the northern section of the ocean of sweet rasa. End of the ninth wave in the northern section titled Rasa Bas. Here ends the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, including words. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami concludes by saying that the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is very difficult for ordinary men to understand. Yet he hopes that Lord Krishna, the eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead, will be pleased with his presentation of this book. This work called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was written in meager form in the year 1436, Shaka, while living in Gokula. That's part of that previous month? We don't know. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, by rough calculation, it is estimated that Srila Rupa Goswami finished Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in Gokul Vrindavan in the year 1552, right? Because that other is Shaka, right? While physically present, Srila Rupa Goswami was living in different parts of Vrindavan, and his headquarters were in the temple of Radha Damodar in the present city of Vrindavan. The place of Rupa Goswami's bhajan, his execution of devotional service, is commemorated still. There are two different tomb-like structures at the Radha Damodar temple. One structure is called his place of bhajan, and the other, his body, is entombed. Behind this very tomb, I have my place of bhajan. But since 1965, I have been away. The place, however, is being taken care of by my disciples. By Krishna's will, I am now residing at the Los Angeles temple of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This purport is finished today, the 30th. 30th of June, 1969. So very early. So you see, is that he came with the three volumes of Bhagavatam, I think the Gita also he had, though I'm not sure if it was it's printed. I think only the Macmillan, the short version, abridged, was printed. He made the TLC, he made Nectar Devotion, he made Krishna Book. So then he summarized all the major books. Right? And then, you know, then he took up finishing the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we can see this is very early, introduced very early because of its importance, its significance. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.